Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
It's always a delight to welcome back to the studio Kirsten Bosch horticulturist Charisse Viljoen. Great to have you with us.
It's lovely to be here. It's nice to be cool.
I was
going
to say, welcome to the world of air conditioning. She is, of course, standing by to answer your gardening questions on absolutely any theme. Give us a call on 021-446-0567. Send an SMS to 31567 or leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Before we get into the world of plants, a lot of you were very upset about the story of the awful plastic pollution that was left in the wake of a fairly recent big walk organized by Correctional Services a couple of weeks ago in the South Peninsula. And we spoke at length about the litter that had been left behind by walkers and runners. I thought I'd give you a bit of an update on that story because environmental campaigner Caroline Hanks spoke to us that day about what she personally had picked up and cleaned up in its wake. And she said she was going to take it further, and she did. She's given me some feedback that she met last week with the relevant parties at Polesmore Prison. And the team there acknowledged that their cleanup effort had not done enough, that they should have covered a wider area, that they could perhaps have had teams working during the event, not just afterwards, particularly given how windy it was that day. And they've also, more importantly, I think, agreed to collaborate ahead of next year's event with Caroline. They're going to meet to discuss plastic-free alternatives and at the very least to put in place a proper strategy for managing their waste next year. So that's a very positive step forward. I think Caroline is still hoping for a meeting with the city to talk to them about the check and balances that are involved in the issuing of permits for such events and whether they are forceful enough when the conditions are not met. So more still to come, but it's good news indeed that they've acknowledged that they fell short of the mark and that they are trying to do better next year. I think it is a step in the right direction. So well done, Caroline, for taking that further. And then the other thing to mention is that there is a market at Kirstenbosch this coming Sunday, and the plants at the market stand will be selling a whole lot of plants that have come straight out of Kirstenbosch Gardens. Charisse, I think you've had a hand in selecting them as well.
I have, and I grow many of them as well in the nursery. So I'm very excited when they go down and are made available to the public. And often they're the favorites they see growing in the beds. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if many people know, but I have a collection of plants called Streptocarpus. They're kind of related to African violets, but not. So I'll make you Google, all of you Google that. Strepto, meaning fruit, and meaning twisted, and carpus, meaning fruit. So they have these lovely, long, twisted seed pods that unravel as they dry, and a wide variety. So why I'm really excited is that they grow in rosulus, which is just a normal kind of perennial form, but they also grow in unifoliates, which is single leafed, and I've sent a few of those down, and they're just beautiful. No one has them, so I'm very excited.
Get a real rarity. So the market is on Sunday at the Stone Cottages, I assume, as usual. From 9 until 3, go and look for the plants at the market stand if you'd like to get your hands on some of those plants or anything else. There's a big focus, obviously, on the succulents and the water-wise plants, as there should be, Charisse.
And also, because it's getting so hot to garden, they've taken a lot of little small plants and gifts down. So my potpourri that I made out of purely indigenous plants is available there as well, which makes a fantastic Christmas present. And it's dried, which most of the gardens are dried. Perfect.
It's a clever way to get rid of all the dried leaves, etc. Okay, great. So that is on Sunday at the Stone Cottages opposite Kirstenbosch. With that, we move into your questions. 021-446-0567 or an SMS to 31567. Mandy asking about her compost bin. She's got a pile of used horse straw and wood shavings for my compost. Her concern is that it might be too much carbon and not enough nitrogen. How do I balance my compost bin, she asks.
She could literally throw in a handful of fertilizer, 315 fertilizer, or manure. She can put manure in with it, although the horse manure is providing that.
Yes.
It probably has manure and straw. It's just if you have worms in your compost bin, then don't do that. The artificial fertilizer and even organic is too harsh for them. It burns them. So to water it quite well, to add in some normal kraal manure if there's not enough horse manure with the straw, and to add in some paper shavings as well, just kind of neutralizes everything, although that is carbon as well. And it'll balance itself out with time. But if there are no actual worms in there, a handful of fertilizer, just creates that balance.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned worms, because we had a question last time from Judy that we didn't get to, and I said I would try to get it to it today. Judy wonders, is there anything in the garden that shouldn't get worm juice? She's got a worm farm. It's obviously producing a nice batch of the juice or the tea on a regular basis. Is there anything that she shouldn't be giving it to?
I absolutely cannot think of a plant that wouldn't say thank you for that. I think plants that are generally quite sensitive to high nitrogen or lots of food in the soil, like fynbos can be, just need a more diluted drink of the juice. But otherwise, no, if you spread it far and wide, freely and widely.
Okay, I love the fact that there is a thing called worm juice. I mean, that's just like a boy toddler's dream, that it's an actual thing. Okay, Judy, hope that you were listening today. Thanks so much. Let's go to the lines. Russell in Milnerton, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, thanks. And yourself?
All right. I actually have a question on my hydrangeas. I don't know if they're alive anymore.
Okay.
I'm fortunate enough to have a well point. So I went and bought hydrangeas thinking I could look after them. I planted them in an area where it's semi-shade or mostly shade with good sun that comes in the late afternoon. And I overwatered them, thinking that hydrangeas actually can take a lot of water. So they've since wilted, and I've cut all the leaves back, and I've cut all the actual flowers back, because it just didn't look like they were coming back. They're still green in the plant, but I'm wondering if that was actually a good idea or not.
I think that you've reacted with logic and sense, taking off what was wilted. The only thing is that the more leaf they had, the more chance they had of drying the soil around them out. As long as you're luckily in this heat not watering anymore, it will dry out for you.
I took it out because it was recently potted.
Okay.
Recently put into the ground. I took them back out and just put some dry soil in as well.
Yeah, that will be absolutely fine. And also, if the roots have rotted off, they couldn't support all that leaf growth anyway. So I think you've done the most sensible thing and just baby them through it, and they will have a flush of growth as soon as they've recovered from the shock.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Good luck, Russell. Okay. Happy babysitting of the hydrangeas, it sounds like, is what's needed. Thanks for your call. And any other calls, welcome on 021-446-0567. Errol asking if I managed to get some white lavender. I just haven't had time to get to the nursery yet, Errol, but I know where to look, so it's on my holiday list. Thank you.
And then I've got a really great tip for picking hydrangea flowers. You shouldn't pick the blooms until the tiny flowers in the center of the bloom, the sterile florets, have opened. And once everything is open, they won't flag, because often people pick them and they kind of shrink in the middle. So just wait till they all entirely open, and then they'll hold that shape beautifully for you.
Nice tip. Thanks very much. Steph on the SMS line is desperate to know if we can use washing machine water to water plants. It gets asked every week, but it's got to be answered all the time because of the water restrictions.
I don't mind. You can ask me about grey water as much as you like. Yes, washing machine water is actually sometimes even better than dishwashing sink water, because it doesn't have any of the oils or the possible blood that you have when you've, you know, had mixed meals.
Yeah.
Washing machine water is fantastic to use, but you have to make sure that your washing powder is biodegradable, and you probably have to stop using softener.
Okay, and there's a huge range of organic washing liquids and things like that you can look at. Go and shop on Faithful to Nature, or look in your latest health store for ideas. Steph, good luck. A question about a Hoya plant, and I'm going to have to ask you to explain a little bit to the listener what that plant is, because I can't picture it, Charisse.
Sure.
I have a Hoya plant that is flowering at the moment, but it's covered in white furry bugs. What can I use to get rid of them?
Well, the Hoya is, if I have it correct, it is a lovely exotic creeper. It has quite thick, solid leaves, hardish, and it twines up, and then it bears these waxy-like flowers that have a sweet, sweet scent. Mm. Quite an unusual thing to have in one's garden. Not everybody has one. And as far as any pests like that are concerned, a good, like, brush off with a sponge and warm soapy water. Just wipe them all off as much as possible. And then, because they are the sucking kind of insects, you can get a systemic poison that you can just put around the base of that plant, so it gets absorbed through the roots, and then it will kill them off. It's probably whitefly or mealybug or Australian bug. I've got a whole lot of you know, the white creepy insects.
Yeah.
Yuck. Just wipe them off as much as possible and give the plant a little bit of food to help recover from the damage. And as I said, if that isn't good enough, a pesticide that will go through the sap, a systemic. Your nurseryman will be able to recommend a variety and you can choose which one you like best.
Thanks so much and good luck with the Hoya. Tony in Hout Bay, good afternoon to you.
Yes, hi, Pippa. I phoned last week about my coral tree, which doesn't flower. It's beautiful, yes. Beautiful, but I never water my garden. I have stopped watering it entirely, and but it's flourishing. And last week, the tap assumed that I was watering it a lot, and that's why it didn't flower. And I didn't have a chance to say, but I'm actually not. So would you know why it isn't flowering, despite the fact that I'm actually not watering it at all, and is otherwise, you know, beautiful?
Sure, they need a really cold snap, as far as I know, to really bring that flowering out. And also, if your soil is particularly rich, is it?
No, I don't think it is. You know, being in Hout Bay,
you've got quite sandy,
acidic, yes.
Yeah. So what happens is that when those trees in particular, they're either in growth phase or flower phase, and it sounds like it has managed to either find a source of water underground or it's liking your soil very much. It's not in any kind of stress. And so it's
right.
Staying in this lovely green growth phase, and it needs either a climatic stress or a water stress or a food stress for it to decide,
okay.
Oh dear, I better flower because I think I might die and it's important to set my seeds.
Okay.
How long have you had the tree for?
A couple of years. I planted it myself and it's just grown. It's almost doubled in height. It's incredible. Wow. It must have found a water source underneath.
It's definitely found something that
yeah.
is encouraging it to rather grow. Once it gets to a particular height, hopefully eventually it'll drop its
okay.
leaves and give you a lovely flush of flowers.
Okay. All right. Thank okay. you. Now, okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
okay,
Tony. Bye. I'm glad we managed to get to the root of the problem as
oh,
we're, pardon the pun. So sorry for that.
Nice.
I had to do it. Okay. Philippa in Notuk, I believe you've got some feedback on the Hoya question. Good afternoon.
I don't have feedback. Hi. I've actually just got a question. I've got a few Hoyas, but mine has never flowered, and I wanted some advice on how to get them to flower because I can't wait to see those beautiful waxy flowers on mine.
So one of the things that you need to do is possibly they're not getting enough sunlight. Light is obviously often a direct trigger for plants, and if you're keeping it a little bit in the shade, and you know, they kind of give the impression that they want that full shade protected environment, and while they do not like the wind, they do need a little bit of sun to get them to flower, and also some food in their case will encourage them to flower. Their flowers take a lot of energy from them. So if you can feed them more regularly and make sure they get better light, you might get that response that you're wanting. And do not overwater them. They like to be kept quite dry.
Yes, I've noticed that they like to be quite dry. I actually have one in my bedroom which has a lot of light, and that one seems to be doing the best.
Mm.
It's got like, it's very dark green. And then the new ones that I've got given, they're kind of like more yellowy, and I've put them under a tree outside. So do you think I should just maybe move them back into my room where it's,
just
lots
do that. Listen
of,
to them. Yeah,
right.
They're telling you as best as they can that they're unhappy. And I'm terrible with moving plants. And then once they did, I'm so sorry that I didn't. So if you can see they need it already, then give that a try, definitely.
Okay, cool. Great. Thank you. And you know, when do they usually flower this time of the year or throughout the whole year?
Philippa, you know, I think they flower in autumn, but I would need another listener to remind me when the Hoyas flower. I think we're not in their flowering period at the moment. It's either autumn or late summer. Maybe someone could phone in and help me out.
It seems that the Hoya is the plant of the day, so I'm hoping somebody will give us that extra info. Philippa Notuk, thanks for your call and good luck. And sure enough, there's another Hoya question on the line. CJ in Gardens, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. It's just a matter of, I've had Hoya plants for over 35 years. I got a little plant from a friend many, many years ago, grew it everywhere, gave away about 30 plants over the years. The more you neglect them,
yes,
the better they flower.
Thank you.
Green are the leaves and no mealybug.
Okay.
No mealybug. Mealybug means the soil's too wet.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay,
CJ,
so the more you neglect them. And CJ, can you tell us at what time of year they generally flower?
Well, I've got it on the veranda where it gets watered maybe once every 3 months, just a little bit in a wall pot, And there I finished with flowers about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Fantastic, CJ. And lucky all those 30 friends or so who got the benefit of your hard work. Fantastic. Okay. Here is an unexpected question on the SMS line from Tyrone, who has tomatoes growing on my potato plants. Is that something that happens often? He asks.
Tyrone, I just need a picture of that. Really, I do. Somehow their stems have gotten entangled and entwined. I promise you it's not possible. Okay, no, not at all. They belong to different families, and it's somewhere, go down digging near the soil and see how they got mixed up.
Something has entwined itself. Please send us a photograph if you can take one, Tyrone. Another SMS asking, is it normal for there to be thorns on pomegranate and lemon trees?
Yes.
On both of them. Yes. Easily asked, easily answered. Thank you. Caroline, taking us back to compost heaps. Should a compost heap be in sun or shade? She asks.
It could be in either. The thing about having them in the sun is that they get hotter, which helps the breakdown process. But then you have to water them more to add the moisture in. And the thing about if they're very cold and wet, which they could be in the shade, it just slows down that whole biodegradable process. Mm. But I don't like the smell of them in the sun, and I don't like having to wet them all. So mine tend to be more in the shade, and I'm happy to wait longer for the process to take place. But it doesn't really matter. Just find a tucked away area of your garden. The more, the better. We can't compost enough. Mm. So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Quicker or slower.
More Hoyas on the SMS line.
Yes.
Steph has SMS to say Hoya flowers grow on the same tendrils every year, so don't cut them. Mine are in full bloom right now on my stoop.
Fantastic, Steph.
Lucky
that's
you.
An excellent tip.
Okay. Thank you very much. The flower of the day without us even knowing it. We'll divert to another flower for the next question. Anonymous SMSing to say we planted plumbago for our hedge. It has been more than 3 years now and it's bushy, but not growing tall as fast as we had hoped it would. It's in a sunny spot. I fertilize, water and trim. What am I doing wrong?
That's quite a tough one. It sounds like it's exactly where it needs to be. Probably if it is in any kind of root competition with wherever it is, if there are trees nearby, not directly even, or if it's a very crowded area, or if the soil is particularly poor, any of that might be stunting their growth. Even sometimes when they're young, a lack of water, strangely enough, as drought tolerant as plumbago can be, they're usually only so when they are very well established.
Okay.
So I would continue with what you're doing, a little bit of patience, try dig around to loosen the soil a little bit. Compacted soil can often stunt the plant more than anything, and hopefully that's the answer, because everything else seems like they're doing it right.
Okay, good luck to you. Lovely WhatsApp in from Aileen with another tip for picking hydrangeas. She says, after you've picked them, submerge the blooms and stems in a bucket of water for a couple of hours or overnight. If they bob up above the surface, place a towel over the top to keep them submerged. This is a tip from a flower arranging expert, she says. Aileen, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Wonderful.
We'll finish with a voice note. Let's take a listen.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. This is Brian here from Cryfontein. I'm looking for somebody who might be able to help me. I'm looking for chicken manure that I can collect for free anywhere around here in Cape Town, if there's anybody who can help. Thank you.
All right, if anybody listening has chicken manure that Brian can collect, let us know. Drop me an email to pepperh@capetalk.co.za and I'll ask my producer just to take a note of Brian's phone number in case anybody does take us up on that. Is chicken manure useful in the garden, Charisse?
Absolutely. I have a garden club member that absolutely swears by it, and I know she gets her chicken manure from somewhere. So just drop me a line and I'll send the information on once I've found it through.
Fantastic.
Christine, and it's just really, really strong. Any bird poop is really concentrated in its nitrogen.
And as you know, if it's dropped on your clothes and you've tried to wash it out. Yes.
Absolutely. In your eye, how it burns. Yeah. So definitely it needs to be diluted, but it's super powerful. And if you treat it with respect, it certainly gives the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay. Brian, if we can find a source of chicken manure for you, we'll pass the information along. Thanks for your message. Charisse, lovely to have you with us. We'll chat again next week.
Yes.
Have a great week in between.
Thank you.